Is this thing on? Absolutely terrified right now. And it's not even because of y'all. Even though some of y'all look pretty rough, it's not because of y'all. But I just also want to thank Brother John, wherever he went, for, you know, giving me this opportunity, Lord. And I don't take it lightly, that is for sure. This has been the biggest thing that, besides my salvation, that's happened to me. But if you would, turn to Luke 15. And I had, about 7 months ago, I had a man tell me this story. He told me that when he was about in his 20s, maybe early 20s, mid-20s, he had a friend come up to him and said, I messed up. I got this girl pregnant. And as you know, he went through and talked to him about it, but he asked this question. You know how guys are, they're curious. He said, how was it? And he said, awesome. Absolutely fantastic, but it was not worth it. And that's exactly how sin is, and that's what we'll see in just a minute. But as you, if you would start in verse 11, if you would stand. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. That'll be it for now. Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that you would just speak through me, Lord. I pray that you would absolutely fill this building, Lord. I pray you would hide me behind you, Lord. I pray that you would absolutely speak through me, Lord, and be over us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First, we see here, as you'll see, my title would be, the sin will always lead to the slop. And you'll find that slop will never satisfy. But we see here, we have a young son. And to understand this story, you got to understand, you know, the culture of Jews. When their father was close to their passing, they would actually give their blessing to their son. And so for a son to come, and he said, he didn't even ask. He came and demanded. He said, where'd he go? Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth unto me. And you got to think, as a father, you would think he would try to argue, get him back, tell him no. But it wouldn't be a perfect picture of God if he didn't. All we see here is it says, and his father divided unto them his living. I sure am glad. You know, the Lord, that's exactly how the Lord is. He's not going to, you know, yank his back, say, no, you're walking, like, you growing up, you have to go to church. There's no question about it. But the Lord, he's not like that. He'll walk with us, he'll carry us, but we hop out, and he's just right there. We may go that way, off that way, but he's right here waiting on us. I mean, he may be sad and he hurts when we turn away and run away. He's not going to stop us. He gave us free will for a reason. And not only that, where in the world did I go? Not only that, God has his own timing. There's a reason we see an early fortune here. Because he has his own timing for a reason. But this son, he asked for early, and that pretty much slaps his father in the face and says, I would rather you be dead and me go on my own than live a life together. And I'm not a father, but I can only imagine how a father would feel from that. And not only that, how God feels every day. Every single day. But not only that, we see how short this season of sin is. As you see in verse 13, it starts out, and not many days after the young son is gathered. Not many days are those wasted. That shows you, absolutely, it is a blast. This world can be fun for a little bit. And it may take you months or years for that fun and then that famine to say it would hit. But for him, it only took a couple days. And he wasted all of his goods with righteous living. Goodness. But we see, and he had spent all there, and there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And after you spend what he wants, I sure am glad God sends a famine in our lives. You know, I'm sure he wasn't thankful for it in the time where he was in want, but after he came back to the Father, I sure am glad for it. And God goes to great measures to get you back into his house. I sure am glad. You know, I was talking to Miss Amy. You were right about those amens. I mean, goodness gracious. But I was talking to Miss Amy, and we were talking about her cancer and how close she is to God. And she said, Matter of fact, without cancer, I would not be as close as I am to God. And it shouldn't be that way. It should not. But God goes through those ways. He will send famines in our life to get us to God. But after that famine, he became in want. So he went and joined with himself to a citizen of the country and sent him to feed the swine. And you were talking about a humorous God? What is the one creature, not one creature, but what's the main creature that is unclean or unfit to be eaten by Jews? Pigs. And see, we see in the next verse, he finds himself not only feeding them, but eating alongside them. It says, and he would fain with his belly, filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, because no man gave unto him. And I don't know, I was curious about what, you know, exactly he would have been feeding them pigs and what he would have eaten. When I first thought of it, to be honest, growing up, there was this one time, most familiar. Mom, I believe she made green bean casserole or broccoli casserole. And in my house, or in your house, it might have been you either ate or you went to bed hungry. No, in my house, you ate, then you went to bed. There was no middle ground. And sorry to tell you this, but when y'all went, Ethan ate mine. I'm sorry, but Ethan ended up eating mine. Had to be right before the Lord. But actually, it says here, I did some research, and it said it was actually mostly fruit of a carob tree or locust beans. And I don't know if you've ever seen those things, but they look nasty. I mean, all it is a big green bean that's brown and not looking good. So it couldn't have been good. And not only was it that, It was mainly used to feed pigs and the poor. But after we see a humorous God, he came to himself. And, after you come to yourself, you realize this world ain't worth it. Absolutely is not worth it at all. You find yourself, you know, hitting rock bottom. That's what it takes. You know, some people, you know, don't make it as far, you know. Yeah. Don't hit rock bottom before they decide, you know, this ain't worth it. Right. Absolutely. But some people are hard-headed. Amen. I know I'm hard-headed, so it takes, you know, a little bit further than maybe the average person to hit rock bottom. But you see, he hits the rock bottom, and he gets the idea. You know, even my father's servants have plenty of food to spare and are living much better than I am, so he gets this idea. If I go back to my father and ask for forgiveness, he'll make me a slave. And even though it's not the life I want, it'll be way better than this. Amen. And I sure am glad that we can do that with the Father. Amen. But we see in verse 20, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. I sure am thankful for that compassion. But here we find ourselves on the second point. An expecting father. And as you see from here, it says, he came to his father, but when he was a great way off. That shows to me that his father was waiting for him. Yeah. He had faith that he was going to come back. Yeah. And he knew he would. He wasn't out working, helping with the servants or out in the field. He was sitting there waiting for his husband because he had faith. And honestly, sometimes that's just what we need to do. Yeah. We ask for God, but we have no faith. We have no belief that God's going to actually go through with it. We may say our prayer, but we get up defeated because we're like, he wouldn't do that. There's no way he would do that. But no, this father knew his son would come back. And he showed compassion when he did come back. And you'll see here in a minute that he gave so much more than just being a servant. But we see here, he said, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And I was curious what all those things meant. I mean, a robe, I mean, sure, it's clothes, you know, all that. But I did a little bit of research to see what all that stuff meant. And you find yourself with the robe as the first item. But you see, where in the world did it go? Okay. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in the Lord. He hath clothed me in the garments of salvation and hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bring room decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. I sure am glad not only does the Lord take us back, but he guards us with that robe of righteousness. And not only that, after taking us back, he gives us that ring to signify we are a part of this family. Not only just, you know, to hang around, but he He allows us to be back in that family. And I don't know about you, but, you know, you'll go to dinners and stuff like that as families, and you'll have your outcasts, you know, the people that aren't really a part of it. Even though they've been given the opportunity, but I'm sure glad I can be a part of that family. I don't have to watch from the outside or peek through the window. I can be a part of that family. But we go back, and we see the shoes. He had the idea, sure, I'll just be, I'll go back, and, you know, maybe he'll make me just a servant. But no, those shoes, I read those shoes signify the difference between a son and a servant. Them servants, they did not have the best. But this separates him from being just a servant. And then next we have, we see, oh, this is probably my favorite part. We see an exciting feast. I sure am glad there's an exciting feast whenever I come back to the Lord. It's not just, yeah, you're forgiven, don't do it again. I'm sure glad he celebrates when I come back home. I'm sure glad it's a celebration. His father gave the best when, you know, he deserved nothing. He didn't even deserve to be let back as a servant, but he gave him the best, even though he did not deserve it. Even though you're going to have those scars. Trust me, you know, comes from someone that's addicted to pornography. They come off of, they're going to have those thoughts, those things that they don't have to deal with. A drunk's going to have those struggles, those cravings sometimes. You know, when you're walking through Walmart, things they shouldn't have to deal with if they didn't take it back. They may be walking with the Lord now, but they've got those scars. And you got to think, I use my imagination when I was reading this story. I know it's just a story, no names or anything like that, but you got to think the people talked in town. You know, that's that son that, you know, he disobeyed his father. Why would he even care about that? But, oh, this father's so much different. I sure am glad this father's different. But even though after that, this father, this celebration, this father wanted the best. So he told his servant, where in the world did it? He said, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. I sure am glad for that. And I was talking to Brother John. I mean, you had to think, it's a celebration. Maybe that they milked that cow and made some ice cream right before they killed it. I know you can say amen to that, but they even took some, maybe made some butter, maybe made some Cheddar Bay biscuits go along with that before they, you know, made ribeye sirloins. But that's just my imagination going on. You can think whatever you want, but I sure am glad we get the best when we deserve the least. You know, even when we track our Lord's name through the mud, he takes us back like it didn't even happen. Sure, and I'm sure glad this is what our church does. I have found that this is what this church does. Not many people are like that. Not many people are able to look at you and not see your past. That's a hard thing for people to do. Even in this church, it's hard to not see people's past. And there's even people I know close to me that won't come to this church because it's their past. Absolutely. Close friend won't even come just because what he did. And that hurts, but that's not what this father does. And that's exactly how it is in life. You run, you run, you run, but you realize that slop won't ever satisfy. And your sin always leads to it. So you better figure out now. It'd be better to stay with it than to stray away. Like Dad, I think, said in his message, people complain that they don't have a good testimony. But you don't know those scars that go along with that testimony. You may be on fire. You may be able to preach, but have that past and those scars. It's a hard life. It's so much better to do. Is to stay on that front pew every Sunday and every Wednesday. It's such a blessing. You don't got to deal with those things like everybody else has to. So if I were to give any advice, is just remember, sin will always lead to the slop. And that slop, it will not satisfy. But don't you be like this elder son. It says in this, it says about the elder son, he was angry. He was angry because his son, his father was giving the best for his son, even though he's been here the whole time. I mean, he's been doing all the things his father asked and everything. But it didn't ever go into detail, but I had to think he missed that celebration because himself. Amen. He got a little too full of himself to realize his brother came home. And the one thing that his father, it said twice in here, your son was dead, yet he is found alive. And I don't, man. Don't you miss that celebration because you're going to hate it. You will live with regret if you miss that celebration. Or you'll find yourself trying to eat that slop and you'll find yourself in the same way that son was. But just remember, that sin always leads to slop. Thank you. Dear Lord, I just want to pray that you would use these words, Lord. I pray that you would fill this room, Lord. I pray that you would grip the sinners' hearts tonight, not even just the lost, Lord. I pray that you would change everyone in this building. I pray that you would just guide me, Lord. I pray that you would guide me in further studies, Lord, that I may further your will, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.